Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thriving Holistic Practitioner Podcast. My name's Lindsay and I'm your host. And joining me today, we have Benedict Beaumont. He is the founder of Breathing Space, and you can find him on Instagram at Make Some Breathing Space. He is joining us all the way from Bali. I'm so excited to hear his story and have him share with you his journey of going down this process of becoming a holistic practitioner that really specializes in breath work. So thanks for joining us, Ben. I'm so glad to have you here with us.
Lindsay, thank you so much for inviting me on. I am really, really excited to be here. Thank you so much. Can I ask a favor?
Of course.
Before we do anything else, before we jump into the conversation, would it be all right if we just stopped, paused, and took a few breaths together?
Of course.
Thank you. And if you're listening at home, if you're able to, if you're not driving, I really encourage you to just stop, pause, and take a few breaths with us right now. Are you ready?
Ready.
Let's do that then. And one more. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you. Well, I really appreciate doing that. I do everything. I take a few breaths before almost every interaction in Breathing Space, whether that's a podcast interview like this, whether it's a class that I'm taking or a workshop that I'm leading. I also do it in real life. I do it pretty much before every conversation that I have with someone or interaction with someone. I even do it with my accountant, who is definitely not into wellness, but everyone understands the value of just stopping, pausing, and taking a breath. Can you feel the difference now in the energy between us?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm really passionate about breath work and how it can improve everyone's lives, but I'm also very passionate about the financial side of working in the holistic industry, because there's so many people here that I think can burn out, aren't making a success of what they are doing in the world. And if you're not financially supported, you can't be energetically supported. And the world just doesn't need more facilitators or practitioners. It needs the ones that are there already to be successful, to be sustained, so they don't go back to their old lives or their old jobs. I'm super passionate about this area and supporting all of the amazing facilitators, practitioners, teachers out there to actually stay in alignment with what their highest purpose is.
Amen. That's what I'm here for too. That's showing up for that right here on this podcast. I love that. I also like what you said about how if we aren't financially supported, we can't be there to energetically support others. I think that's a really important mindset concept to think about because especially for holistic practitioners, when we focus a lot on our heart-centered mission, it's easy to want to downplay the significance of money, but money is an important piece. It's what makes business happen. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. So
Well, none of us do this for money. None of us enter into this profession because we want to be millionaires. However, it does need to support us. It does need to put food on the table and clothes on our back or shoes on our children's feet. Otherwise, we are not going to be doing it. And that will not serve anyone, not ourselves, and not the people that we wish to be of service to.
it's true, definitely. So tell me a little bit about your history and how you even found your path to breath work and holistic practitionership in general.
Certainly. Well, I'm a breathwork facilitator teacher, and I have a school that trains facilitators to be breathworkers. But I haven't been doing this forever. I wasn't born the head of a breathwork school. I didn't even discover breathwork until I was in my 40s. But all the way through my life, I have been, I suppose, on a quest to be the best version of myself, to reach my potential. I always felt that, well, I've only got one chance at this life. I want to be the best possible version of myself that I can. So, all through my life, I think, even when I was a teenager and I was choosing my exam subjects, I chose the subjects of inquiry, of internal inquiry, asking the questions, why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing? Of course, in school, the subjects that you get to choose aren't really great, but I chose politics and economics. I chose philosophy and anthropology when I went to university, and that carried on throughout my 20s and 30s. I studied or practiced a lot of yoga, trying because that was a very clear pathway that everyone followed, that do these steps, learn these asanas, get into this flow, to get into this movement, and there is something at the end of it, a better, brighter version of you. I also became a Buddhist, and I had a very deep meditation practice for quite a number of years, and I studied Dharma. I studied ancient Tibetan texts, actually, about how to live and how to show up, how to think, how to feel. For many years, I read every self-help book on the shelf. I did group therapy. I followed all sorts of teachers, and all of them gave glimpses. All of their game gave little pieces of the puzzle, but none of them by themselves were enough. I went as far as I could with all of them. And at some point, there was something that jarred, that didn't quite agree, or that didn't quite fit, or that was too esoteric, or was just, didn't approach this issue very well. All of that was great training and really important. But it wasn't until I discovered breath work in my 40s that suddenly everything fell into place.
Wow, you're one of the first people that I've talked to that has such a history with holistic genres, I should say. Many people start out in just a regular career or life, and they have, I guess you might say, more of just a traditional lifestyle, working in management or whatnot. And then maybe they run across their own health journey, and then that prompts them to learn different modalities. You are a unique bird in that you really had that desire from a young age and were pursuing different modalities along the way. When you found breath work, what about that really inspired you, or what made that shift for you to say, oh, you know what? This is it. This is what's been missing in these other paths that I've been down.
Let me come to that in a second. I just want to reassure you and all the listeners, I did have a normal life and a normal job before this, by the way. In my 20s, I was an IT professional. So I had a really proper corporate kind of job, wearing a suit. And I worked all over the world, actually, because that was a time, the late 90s and the millennium. And then I became a teacher in high schools, in some of the most challenging areas of the United Kingdom where I'm from. So I definitely had a normal life and a career, and the holistic side didn't really come to me as a full-time profession until I discovered breath work. And
Okay.
that was an extraordinary moment for me. That was an extraordinary experience. 10 years ago, I was in Bali, in Ubud, in exactly the place that I am now. And actually, this is a very important time in my life, Lindsay, because this is the 10-year anniversary, almost to the day when I discovered breathwork. And at that point in my life, I had burnt out from being a teacher. I burnt out from being a IT professional. I burnt out from doing yoga and Buddhism and everything else. I kind of got as far as I could, and I didn't know what to do with my life. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to have fun and go on adventures until I finally do. So I gave up my job. I gave up my flat, my apartment. I sold everything. I flew off to India, bought a motorbike, and got lost. I drove all around. I drove through Nepal. I climbed up to Everest Base Camp. I actually met my wife there. We lived in Thailand. We lived in a car in North America, traveling around. I proposed to her in Sri Lanka. We ran hotels in France. We had an amazing life, but we ended up in Bali, in Ubud, and I just met someone socially, and we got chatting. He was a really lovely man, and I asked him what he did, and he says, "I'm a breathwork facilitator." And at that point, I'd already been doing a lot of internal work. I'd been doing yoga for over 10 years. I've been doing meditation and Buddhism for 7 or 8 years, so I thought I knew what breath work was. When he invited me to, as a guest, to his first session, I thought, okay, we'll probably do some alternate nostril breathing. We'll listen to some nice music. We'll lie down and we'll have a really relaxing time. No, that was not what happened. It was an extraordinary pivotal moment in my life that everything changed. We were encouraged to, we did a few preparatory exercises, and then we were shown this particular breathwork technique called conscious breathwork, conscious connected breathwork. Some music was then put on. We did, in fact, lie down and we tried this technique. And that was the moment that everything changed, because it wasn't just relaxing breathing. On one side of me, someone was having a full body orgasm. On the other side of me, someone was screaming like they were being stabbed or disemboweled. On the other side of the room, someone was laughing like they were being told the most hysterical joke in the whole world. And I was, what is happening here? I had never seen anything like it. I opened my eyes and it was bedlam. The whole room was everyone having this crazy experience. And then I entered into that space and that moment that I'd always been looking for, that moment of transformation, that moment of connection and enlightenment. And I was gifted my own personal experience, or for almost a spiritual moment of clarity, of understanding. And everything that I'd wanted came to me in that moment. And that moment was when my life changed. I knew I'd found my purpose, my reason, my mission in life. I was going to become a breath worker. This had just given me that absolute aha moment, something that clicked into place. And what it did, it integrated everything else that I'd learned, everything in yoga, everything in Buddhism, everything in the self-help world that I'd led, everything that I'd learned as a professional chef and as a professional teacher. It suddenly had a reason in my life. And that was the moment I knew that breath would take over my world. I would train to become a breathwork facilitator and learn to lead people in the experience that I had just had. When we came back after that experience of that breathwork, we all sat in a circle and we all shared about our experience. And although everyone had had a radically different experience, many were beautiful, like my own experience, but some people had very challenging experiences. Every single person was gifted something that made why they were there extraordinary. Everybody came out of that session lighter and brighter, with something shifted inside of them. It was extraordinary. And I
Wow.
knew that I have found my life's purpose here.
Honestly, that story brought me to tears. Like I can understand how precious that moment is when you realize how that culmination of everything in your life finally makes sense. And that feeling of it's not even certainty. It has nothing to do with the mind. It's all just like your body just is like, yes. This is it. Like you embrace it fully. I know that feeling and it feels so amazing. And I was brought to tears with joy for you because that is just so fantastic. So fantastic. Oh my
Oh,
goodness. Whew.
I can feel that, Lindsay. Let's just stop here and pause, because for everyone listening, this kind of story can give everyone hope that there is that moment for everyone, that they find what they are meant to do. So
Yeah.
let's just breathe and feel that. Thank you. Thank you,
Yeah, it
Lindsay.
resonates. I want people to listen to this and know that, I think a lot of people get into their we all, I think we've all been there. I mean, listening to your story, I know my story. We've all been there where we think we're on the right path, wishing that we knew we were on the right path. There's a difference between thinking and knowing, and that experiential moment when you just say, yes, this is it for me. I pray that everybody listening to this is recognizing that that can happen, and hopefully they've already heard it. But, to know that they're listening to this podcast or they're questioning their future, they are walking their path. It isn't going to be this lost feeling forever, and it is possible to come to that I guess you could say a crossroads where everything just kind of comes together. So I love that. Let's talk a little bit more about beyond that moment. You had this magical experience. You knew this was going to be the thing. What steps did you take to moving into like the business realm or looking at this as like you've already left your job. You've kind of left the whole wide Western type world, so to speak, even though it wasn't necessarily Western, but that job and that career path, and you've already kind of bucked the system. What was going through your mind? Like, what was your thoughts? Like, how am I going to make this into a career? Was that even something you were thinking about? And then what steps did you take to start moving forward towards that goal?
That's a great question. Well, at the time, I was a qualified practicing and a very experienced teacher. So during my training for the next few years, I was still in the classroom, but I was really taking a step back. I became a substitute teacher or a supply teacher, we call them. So I didn't have a regular job. I would just go out and cover, in different classes, in different classrooms. So all the time at the back of my head, I was already doing what I wanted to be doing whilst I was undergoing my training. And then during my training, a couple of things happened. As a teacher, by the way, I was sometimes a business studies teacher. So I would, it is a lower level. This is, teaching to sort of 16, 17-year-olds the basics of business. And that actually served me very well, learning and understanding some of the processes that you need to go to make a successful business. So when I was in my training, I looked around at all the other wellness professionals that I knew. And I didn't just train in breathwork. I also trained to be a yoga teacher at the same time as well, because I wanted that foundation, a somatic, physical body experience to be able to lead people through that. And I also thought that because everyone knows what yoga is, everyone knows how it's physically beneficial for you, I think I should learn to do something that everyone will understand. And everyone can see the benefit of. Breathwork is much newer, much more niche. And so lots of people think, I can breathe. What do I need breathwork for? So, all the time I was thinking, I need something that will hook people in, that is approachable and accessible to people. So I did. So whilst I was training, I was looking around and thinking about how am I going to do this? And I saw lots and lots of my peers and my colleagues or people who had just gone before me having to really hustle, having to go out and do substitute courses at studios or just hustle and push trying to get a few gigs here and there, and then spending so much time marketing and selling themselves and trying to get people to come along. And they very quickly burnt out. They very quickly lost all the energy and enthusiasm because they were not doing what they loved. They were doing what they needed to do to try and get clients and trying to establish themselves. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to do that. That's not for me. So I started to look at the bigger picture. What is it that I really wanted to do? And what was going to serve me financially that was actually enabling me to carry on doing what I was passionate about? And just running classes for me never felt like a sustainable career path. People are willing to pay, depending on where you are, $15, $20, $30 for a class. When you're starting, it's very difficult to get people to come along unless you're very lucky and someone gives you an opportunity with an established business, but then they're going to be running the classes themselves. You have to put in a lot of hours to build up a following, to kind of get people to come on, to educate people that this is what they need. People are willing to pay a lot more, maybe 70, 80, not even $100 for a workshop, like a 3 to 4 hour kind of experience. So I thought, well, that makes sense. Maybe I should do, one of those a week. And then if I can get 10 or 20 people, that's sort of $500, $600 a week for, a day's work. That seems to be a much better return of scale. And then I thought, well, hang on. What about if I took people away on a retreat? Because for a weekend away, giving people a transformational experience, people are willing to pay, $400, $500, $600, $700. And if you can get 10, 12, 15 people, suddenly you're looking at, $5, $6, $7,000 for a weekend work. And actually, that is pretty good. That's a livable wage. And what is it? It's a weekend's work. And you get to do amazing stuff with interesting people in really cool places. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start running retreats. And I did. The first retreat I managed to persuade 9 people turn up. and I charged about $200, and I just about covered my costs. But that I was charging virtually nothing, about a third of what the going rate was. But that gave me confidence, and it gave me the belief that I could do it because it was an amazing experience. And it was good because I've been on lots of retreats. I knew what worked, I knew what didn't. And as my experience as a teacher, I understood how to run an experience. And my experience as a teacher was absolutely pivotal in me becoming a success, I believe. But then I finished that retreat and I was like, that was amazing. I didn't lose money. And I booked a retreat month for the next year. And that was how I started in my business.
That's
Does
fantastic.
that
Yeah.
answer that question?
Very, very clear and very it's interesting because I understand the startup psychology of an entrepreneur, and I commend you for taking that thinking bigger. That's a really key takeaway from your story, is how you weren't shortchanging yourself or just limiting yourself based on what was possible. You just allowed yourself to think bigger and step into that and give it a go, even though you didn't know how it was going to work out. And even though you were taking a risk at losing money, I mean, you could have potentially lost money on that first or second adventure, but you still took that risk and gave it a go and learned from that and continued to blossom. I think that's really the key message there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a risk, and there are some big lessons that I learned along the way, but I was really successful. I went from having never run a retreat in less than, well, 18 months, I had run or been involved in running over 20 retreats, and I had no email list. I didn't have a following. I started from absolute scratch. And by the end of it, after that 20th repeat, 18 months later, I was featured in the international press as one of the best wellness retreats to go on in Europe, having
Fantastic.
started with nothing.
Let's talk about that journey a little bit. What were some of the challenges that you faced getting people to? Because I'm thinking through, that's what somebody's going to wonder is how would I even get people? I have nothing. What were some of the strategies that you employed that helped you start to get people there and grow your list? Was list building even something that crossed your mind? Maybe that hadn't really occurred to you until later. I mean, just what was that like?
That is a really good question. And I want to just reassure all of your listeners that you do not have to buy into the mindset that you have to have an email list, that you have to be an influencer, that you have to have a huge following on TikTok or Instagram to connect to people. You don't have to. We survived before all of that existed. You do not have to buy into that kind of mindset that I need to be doing this. And I'm looking around at everyone, what everyone else is doing, and I need to be like them. You can forget all that. I found that a really inefficient way of doing my outreach, doing my marketing and connecting with people. There's so many other people doing it. It's like shouting out into an empty room. You have no idea who's going to be listening. So for me, the clever way to do things was to, well, I want to run retreats. I want to connect with people who want to go on retreats. And I know that there are people who want to go on retreats because, lots of people run retreats and lots of people go on retreats. How do I reach those? And I suppose a parallel is the hotel world. When people want to go and go and stay somewhere abroad, and the old-fashioned way was you'd find a brochure, you'd look at the brochure, you'd book a hotel based on that. Then of course the internet came on and things absolutely changed. And Airbnb disrupted that market because it gave everyone the ability, everyone, to become a hotelier, to open up their own homes where people could book on. And so I thought, what, maybe there's something like that for the retreat world. Maybe there's a marketplace where people who want to run retreats can put their retreats on there. Anyone could do that. And anyone who wants to book on a retreat will go there. And I thought of that first. I thought there's got to be that kind of marketplace. And lo and behold, as soon as I kind of made that connection in my head, they appeared to me. There's several of them, book retreats, book yoga retreats, Retreat Guru. There's all these marketplaces which, 10 years ago, well, 8 years ago, I had no idea that they even existed. But suddenly that meant I could reach only people who wanted to go on retreats. And they didn't cost anything to advertise on, unlike Facebook ads or, Instagram boosting posts. They just took a commission. So if you adjusted your pricing to include the commission that they would get, suddenly you got access to a world of people who are looking to come on a retreat experience, and only people who are getting to come on a retreat experience. And so all of that anxiety and fear and pressure of having to, go out and sell yourself and become a big star and look confident and pretty and glossy like you do on a yoga magazine, all gone. Because people review you after the first couple of retreats I had, everyone was a 5-star review, and that sells itself. So all I had to do was just like put my listing up, put a few pictures, get the testimonials there, and then the retreats sold themselves.
Wow, that's incredible. Did you end up moving your retreat to different, did you keep it in the same place, or did you find that moving them around to different parts of the world, since you were already so worldly and been in different places, or did you just kind of stick to the same area in the beginning just for consistency and then grow, or how did that evolve?
Well, I started off with one particular venue because I knew it really well, and that became my bread and butter. And that was the venue that I booked for a month, every month for 12 months, and I still go back there when I can. But in between that, I started doing retreats abroad and in different places around the world. I had to be a little bit creative, and finding a good venue for me is absolutely key. I'm quite a control freak. I like to make sure everything is how I want it to be done. So, me and my wife would do all the cooking. We'd arrange all the transport. I needed to know the area particularly well if we're doing outings. So I didn't trust anyone else to curate that experience. So I was always very particular about the venue, and I needed to know it. I needed to visit it. I need to visit the hosts or the caretakers or the managers around that. But I had to think creatively around this because, hiring a retreat venue and doing the costs is. Most businesses, by the way, fail not because they cannot attract people in, not because they're not getting enough incoming. It's the costs of running things that kill most businesses. And most people forget that, and they'll spend a lot of money doing things. And actually, if you can keep your costs low, your chances of success are much higher. So I started to think a little bit creatively when I was running retreats. And, I wanted to find amazing venues, but I didn't want to pay amazing prices for, or I didn't want to pay crazy prices for them. I'm not sure if I mentioned earlier, as well as being a teacher, I was a chef for many years. And I used to work up in the French Alps in ski seasons, running chalets and chefing in chalets and managing. And the French Alps are such an amazing area of the world. It's actually forms the logo of my business. Breathing Space is a mountain. Because that was one of the places where Breathing Space and myself was born and reborn. So these are amazing chalets, some of the most beautiful picturesque places in the world. And I'm sure your listeners will have heard of some of these like magical, mystical places like, Verbier or Cloisters, some of these exclusive resorts. I worked in a place called Val d'Isère in France, which is amazing. And in the winter, it's, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people go through every weekend. In the summer, they are dead. No one goes there. But they're even more beautiful in summer. You can go anywhere. And I got a bit bored of skiing, but hiking I love. So I suddenly thought, hang on, there's this amazing location, hidden. No one goes there in the summer. There's all these amazing chalets that are sitting there empty. Why don't I approach the owners and just find out what happens to these chalets in summer? And see if I can rent one. And when I did, I approached the owner of a chalet and said, "What happens to your chalets in the summer?" And they said, "Oh, well, actually it just sits empty."
Oh, wow.
And I said, "Would you consider like hiring me?" And they were like, "Really? Wow. Normally we'd pay someone to go and be a caretaker, and you want to pay us to go and live in it and use it." I was like, "Yes, I will pay you to go and have this amazing chalet." So I did for 2 summers. I hired an amazing complex of chalets. I hired. It was 5 chalets with about 120 beds for less than $10,000 for 2 months. Everything,
Wow.
everything for it was it, in the end, it cost about $8,000, And I ran 4 week-long retreats back to back, which isn't recommended, by the way, because your own energy to do that is intense. But I was quite experienced at that point, and I'm a bit of a strange case. I managed to do it, and I'm good at planning. So I ran 4 retreats back to back. Each one of those retreats, I could take 16 people. And each of those 16 people was paying about $1,000. So in 1 week, I could make, over $16,000,
Wow.
over the 4 weeks. Suddenly, when you do the math, hang on, if I earn $16,000 a week over 4 weeks, that's $60,000. And the cost on that, $8,000 for, hiring a place, and really the food costs, they're going to be minimal. You'll spend another sort of 4 or 5 thousand over the month. Hang on, that's 60, whatever dollars, 10,000, 15,000 costs, $50,000. I walked away after 2 months' work in the most beautiful place on the planet, having had the best time of my life, having helped so many people through a transformational experience, with $50,000 in my pocket after 2 months' work.
That's incredible. That's genius. I love that. That's incredible. Well, and I cannot wait to go explore those places. That's actually on my bucket list, is to walk from the south of Italy, or not just walk, but travel from the south of Italy all the way up through to the UK, because I've never been to Europe. That's on my list of things to do.
That I've just out of interest, this isn't to do with business, but I was a long distance hiker, and I love long distance hikers. There is a route called the G5, because in Europe is like crisscrossed with all these like long distance routes. There's one that goes all the way through the French Alps called the G5 that ends up in Europe, and it's actually a pilgrimage route, and it's part of the old spice route from hundreds of years. So people have been walking for years. So please do it. You will not be disappointed. It is one of the most stunning places on earth.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something else right now, because this might take the conversation in a different direction. At the end of that summer, I had to pivot completely. I had to change everything about my business, because at that point, me and my wife moved to Canada, for personal reasons. We'd got as far as we could in Europe, and we started a family. And then, of course, COVID hit. So my business model of rates couldn't work in Canada, because in Europe, you are within 2 hours travel, you've got about 50 million people on your doorstep. In Canada, in northern Alberta, where I was living, within 2 hours, you've got maybe 1 million people. And so I knew at that point what I'd been doing before wasn't going to work. I had to change everything and come up with a new business plan. And that's when things got really exciting.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you what pivoted for you. That makes sense. COVID was definitely a moment in, I think, almost every person's life where something had to change. And good things came of it, I think. I mean, I have yet to meet somebody who didn't actually get more aligned with their bigger purpose through that experience. So I think in a way it was a blessing. So tell us a little more about that. What did that journey look like?
Well, I moved to Canada in November 2019. So this was, a few months, 6 months before the pandemic hit and everybody else changed. But at that moment that I moved, I knew that I was going to have to change what I was doing. And again, I went back to basics, and I started thinking, well, how am I going to support myself? What are people willing to do? I knew that I wanted to carry on changing people's lives. I knew that it needed to support me financially. And again, I went back to the drawing board, and what are people willing to pay for? $15, $20 for a class, $60, $70, $80 for a workshop, maybe a few hundred dollars for a retreat, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to do that. Where else are people willing to put an investment in? And that was really clear to me. People, as well as having a transformational experience themselves, they want to go and learn how to do something themselves. If you can pivot into a role where you aren't just, going on an immersive experience with people, but training them to do something, especially something if you can give them a certificate at the end of it, because who doesn't love a certificate? If you can train people to maybe do something that can support them financially, then suddenly not all people willing to just pay five, six, $700, actually, they're willing to invest. Two, three, four, $5,000, because you're not just giving someone a fish, you're teaching them how to fish, and you're giving them the opportunity to change their lives completely. So at that point, I opened up my school so I could train other facilitators. And always at the back of my head, I knew that I was going to do this. Because when I completed my training as a breathwork facilitator, when we sat in our final circle, and we'd all had this amazing year together of going on the deepest personal, most profound journey of transformation for ourselves. I was so aware of everyone else in the world who hadn't had the opportunity that I had, who hadn't met this amazing gift of the breath, who haven't understood how their lives can be improved with every single moment. And I felt everyone who was not in that circle, and I made a vow to the universe that I was going to bring breathwork out into the world. And then, as well as doing the financial kind of planning, I started to do some thinking, doing like some number crunching, if you like, around the energy of this. Well, I want people to meet breathwork, and that's why I'm here, not because I, want to have a fantastic life to, live on a yacht, because it's not going to happen. But I want to make an impact in the world. I want to share why I'm absolutely passionate about that. What's the best way of doing that? If I run, workshop or classes, how many people can I reach? If I'm good, if I'm really good, maybe 100 people a week, which is, let's not, that is a good lot of people. If I am really at the top of my game and I manage to touch 100 people a week, that's amazing. But could I have a bigger impact than that? Could I make a bigger change on that? If I didn't just facilitate people and lead people, practice with people, if I could become a trainer and train other facilitators, then the impact that you can have is exponential. Because even if each of those people you train reaches 10 or 15 people, there is no limit the number of people that they can reach. And because of my experience as a teacher, with 15 years at the chalk face, really, which, and there's no training like being a teacher in a high school in the low aspirational areas of the world. If you can do that, I knew I could start a breathwork school and I could train facilitators. And my own experience in learning, I knew that I could do this because most schools are not run by professional teachers. They're run by, people who love what they do, who are really inspired, but do not have the discipline and the practice of going day in, day out, running lessons, creating lesson plans, or writing curriculums or programs of study. I had that. I've been doing it for 15 years. I knew it at the back of my head. I knew that I could not just make an amazing training course. I knew that I could make a school that would be more stable, would be more fulfilling, that would be better than anything else out there because of my own personal experience. And so that's what I did. 6 months before COVID hit, I started my training courses all online, all through Zoom. So when the pandemic hit, I'd already was doing what everyone else had to learn to do very quickly. I'd already had that experience. And
That's
suddenly, and then suddenly, because of the pandemic, I had, thousands of people sitting at home, nothing to do. Many of them wanting to transition into something, that was going to be more in line with their heart, wanting to learn online through Zoom, which was the only way to do it. So suddenly my business just absolutely took off.
fantastic. And a lot of people were looking for a holistic approach to health because of obvious reasons, with the whole COVID thing, people were more focused on being healthy and creating healthy environments for themselves. That's neat. What a
Well,
kismet situation.
I know, a worldwide respiratory pandemic, which is all about breathing, hits where people are struggling breathing, and then, I've got brand new breath whistle. I mean, I got lucky. I got very lucky during
Yeah.
that process.
Well, you were definitely walking your path already, and that's part of what I think helped that work out because and I know that when you're living in an aligned space, things like that happen. It seems like magic, but it's really on purpose. And that's just how it goes. Oh my goodness. Thanks for sharing that. So tell us now, where do you see your business in the next 3 to 5 years? I mean, what now that you've established that, what are some challenges you're facing? Because I think that's one thing about business is, we always think, well, once I get here, then I'll be okay. But the reality is, and this is a misconception I see a lot with business owners, the reality is that it's always an evolutionary process. And I think you were gifted with this curiosity, this genuine curiosity that opened your mind up to hearing solutions, in your mind, hearing and visualizing solutions. But a lot of times we tell ourselves, this is the solution. When I achieve this goal, then this magic will come to my life or whatnot. But I think the reality is that there's always growth. There's it's that's kind of the fun about business is it's constant. There's no ceiling. There's no end. It's to me a lot like spirituality. You know, the deeper you go, the deeper you go. And with business, it's the same thing. It's like the higher you reach, the more higher you can go, especially when you have an aligned mission. So where do you see yourself heading in the next, 3 to 5 years? And do you have any specific new challenges that you're pondering on now?
Well, that's a great question. So the first thing that I would say, and I would say this to all of your listeners as well, or your entrepreneurs, I was really clear that having looked around and looked at many small business owners, many entrepreneurs, many people working in the world as well, they worked themselves to the bone trying to make a success of their business, and they dedicated their life to their business so much, actually, their own personal lives fell apart. And I was really clear and determined that my business would serve me personally, and I would put me and my family's health and well-being before the business. And so I created my school, I created my community, I created, our movement, working 3 days a week and no more. I work 3 days a week. And that's it. And that's all I ever work because I didn't want to spend all of my time just working. And even though I love what I do and I do it for free, I really try to just do that because I also started a family at the same kind of time. So I've got two young daughters who are now sort of 2 and 4. And I wanted to be a very present parent. I didn't want to be the parent who was, off working all the time. So the family experience to me was really important. My challenge is now. I could talk a lot about just having a school and running a training program is not enough by itself. I felt that I needed to do something bigger than that. So the school that I created was everything that I wanted to experience and have when I was training. But don't just train and certify people. That to me is not enough. Always I'm thinking, what happens next? Where do people go from that? So I started to think about me when I left my training school. I was pretty much abandoned. My contact with the school stopped unless I was willing to, do the training course again and expend a lot more dollars. I was out by myself in an industry where no one heard of it, with no one for miles around me knowing what to do this. And I was lucky. Not everyone is. So I was always clear. I didn't just want to train people, certify them, and that's it. I wanted to build a community that went on to support people as they went on to do that. So I created a second year of our training program. For people to come back, still remain part of the community, support new trainees. And here's the clever bit, to certify after they've done 2 years and met all the requirements, to then be able to teach my curriculum as well. Because, not everyone is going to be able to train with me personally. I'm not going to be able to train everyone. But hang on, what about if I don't just like training people to be facilitators? How about if I certify them to become trainers and then they can teach my curriculum? And then, of course, it's a bit like a franchise model because it's only right. I need to be supported. Breathing space needs to be supported. So a percentage of what of course fees that their students take on come back to breathing space. And so suddenly the whole model of a training school becomes a community and it becomes a pathway that not only are you equipping people with skills to support themselves financially, but you give them tools and a pathway to do that as well. Not many people can create a school and a curriculum. I could because of my experience, but maybe 1% of people who you train have got the ability to do that. However, if somebody says, by the way, you're amazing, you already not just run breathworks, but you can train people. Here is a curriculum that you can teach them. Here is a school and a process that you can be affiliated with. All you need to do is go out and be inspiring, and people will come to you naturally, and they will want to give you invest thousands of dollars in their own training. And how about you take that money rather than me, and then pass on, appropriate amount back to me to support what I do. So there's that growing that side of breathwork, which isn't just about me training, and I still run a lot of trainings myself, but now I've got over 30 teachers who are qualified to run my training courses in all over the world, in different languages, in different styles. So some of them do it in person, some of them do it online, some of them do it in day-long workshops. So they all deliver it the same way, the same quality of the education is there, the same requirements, the same. certified course is exactly the same. The integrity of it is there, but it's delivered in different ways according to the inclinations and the characteristics and the strengths of the teacher. So that's one area of business that I'm passionate about. I still want to make a big impact, but the way is not just for me to train facilitators, is to support other trainers to do the same. So that's one thing. Other challenges that I'm facing, over the last year and a half, I'm noticing people don't want to train online so much. Actually, after the experience of the last few years, people want to do stuff in person. So I'm considering pivoting and starting to do in-person trainings. But as I mentioned, I want my business to support my life. I'm in Bali right now. In a week's time, I'm going to be living in Bangkok for a month. After that, I'm going to be in the UK for 3 months. Then I'm going to be back in Canada for 4 months. Then after that, I'm probably going to be back in Bali. So my personal life with my family and my kids, we're moving around, having fun, living an adventurous life. So the business needs to support me energetically in how I do that. I probably need to stop doing podcast interviews like that because it is 2 a.m. here and I get up quite regularly in the middle of the night to connect people, to teach my classes, to run workshops. Not really healthy. So, but I love it so much. I really, really enjoy speaking to people. So I should probably change that a little bit. And then the other thing that I am starting to do more of now is I'm moving into a consultant role, and a coaching role for people who want to start their own schools. Because I haven't just created my own school, I've actually created a whole new school with a colleague and a friend of mine who runs transformational workshops. It's not breath work, but it's in a similar ballpark. And I've consulted on at least a dozen other schools or wellness enterprises at different levels. Some people I've gone, held their hand from the beginning. Other people, it's just a bit of, an arm around the shoulder or a bit of advice here and there. But I've done that for over 12 people now. I'm getting pretty experienced in what works and what doesn't work. And so that's another way that I can have an impact in the world, is to support other visionaries to share the passion in their heart as well.
Wow.
So there's a few things. There's never anything that
This,
stops,
I
really.
love it. Like,
I'm
this
always
is the
thinking.
perfect story for what I've been really seeking in general. And I have two podcasts. So my other podcast is called The Freedom Entrepreneur, and it aligns. I think I'm going to share this episode on both because it aligns. That one is more like building an online business to have that freedom lifestyle, which is exactly what you have. And it's really challenging, to be honest with you, Ben. It's very challenging for me to get people to come onto that podcast who have a story like yours, because usually once they start living that freedom lifestyle, they have no reason to share. I mean, the people who want to come on that show have an agenda, and I'm like trying to get away from that. I'm like, I don't want to necessarily talk into people with an agenda. So I've really been pushing back on certain guests and looking for more that just have this story that can give hope and inspiration to other people that want to have that story. You know what I mean? Have that life. So I think I will share this on both, but that's fantastic. This has been probably one of the most transformative episodes I've recorded. Mind you, this is the third guest one I've had. I'm just launching. I haven't even launched the podcast yet, but still, I'm hopeful this is going to be more of what I see in the world. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate this. And this isn't the normal kind of podcast that I do. Normally, I talk about breath a lot more. That's what I'm really passionate about, and that's why I come onto podcasts to do outreach, and speak to real people around this. But I love talking about the business side of things. I've never been an entrepreneur before this. I'd always had a job and a salary. I've fallen in love with having a business and working for myself because it is so empowering. When you leave behind the idea that someone else needs to give you permission to earn money, and you can realize you can do that yourself, the empowerment that it gives you as an individual that makes you realize, actually, I can do whatever I want. The limits that you put on yourself really dissolve when you see it working. Actually, the confidence that you have to be the best version of yourself is increased so much. So I really love meeting and encouraging other people who are willing and who are brave enough to take that step, because it is life-changing. And the impact that you can have, not just on yourself, but on others, I believe, is much bigger.
I agree. Where can people connect with you? What's the best place?
Well, you can look, you can, if you want to connect with me personally and you want to find out a bit more about my story or even how to work with me, you can look me up on my website, benedictbeaumont.com, and which is a bit more about me personally. If there's part of what I have shared about breath work, and I haven't talked that much about breath work, but I promise you that is really why I'm successful. It's not all the kind of clever business things that I've done. It's because I'm coming from an absolute place of integrity and passion for what I do and how breath work can light people up. And it sustained me. Like, if you'd asked me, what are you going to do with your life? The fact that I ran, international retreats all over the world, that I started an international breath work school, started two other schools, I started an international festival. I never thought I'd do anything. How do you start a festival? And yet I did it. And it was easy. And all of that is because I was supported and nourished at every single moment with with my breath, which sounds a bit corny, but it really helped me tap into my inner intuition and wisdom. And so whenever I was faced with a decision, if ever I was not sure, actually stop, pause, take a breath. And then it was clear what every decision had to be. And that's really why I think I have been successful, is because I was absolutely in integrity and alignment with what I wanted to be doing, which is a source of such great wisdom whenever I was faced with a decision. So my website is benedictbeaumont.com. My school's website, where I train people to be breathwork facilitators or just spread the word about breathwork, because I don't just train people. Like, anyone who's interested in breath can come along and do free courses or free workshops. There is all that is makesomebreathingspace.com. makesomebreathingspace.com. If you Google my name and breathwork, you'll find me. I'm quite in quite a lot of places. Well, thank you for inviting me on, Lindsay. Do you think we could just do one thing before we finish?
Of course.
Well, all I want to do is to just finish and close this off energetically as we began, by stopping,
Okay, let's do it.
pausing, and taking a breath. Thank you, Lindsay.
I
And
was
thank you,
picturing,
everyone, for listening.
yes, I was picturing everybody listening to this and believing that through this breath, that our message was reaching the people who needed to hear this and just feeling and tuning into them as we were wrapping up, because I know that energy can transcend time and space. And so just knowing that people are listening to this and that this is going to be life-changing for many, I'm just grateful. Thank you.